The scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. This morning I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture. Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which to work. Come on those days and be cured, but not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In today's scripture reading, we find Jesus doing exactly what we expect him to be doing: healing the sick, confronting the inhumanities of legalism, chastening the hypocrites. Just another day in the office for the Son of God, right? In true form, Jesus gives us and gives the crowds in the synagogue reason to rejoice. In doing so, he also offers us hope for our own healing and deliverance from whatever might have us bent over or weighed down. Jesus offers us the opportunity, along with the crowds, to rejoice. It is hard to miss the action in today's gospel reading. We know that a woman who is afflicted, unable to stand up straight, is healed. We know that this healing happened on the Sabbath. We see the confrontation between the power of God and the power of legalism. It is harder to notice the message hidden in the narrative that ties these actions together in the story. I think this narrative thread weaves together a lesson that would help us understand the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit moves, how we can be transformed by the working of the Holy Spirit in any place, at any moment in time. This thread, made more subtle in various versions of Scripture, suggests that the power of the Spirit works suddenly, unexpectedly, spontaneously in our midst, and that movement both transforms our perspective and gives us reason to rejoice. The text opens with Jesus teaching in the synagogue. Just then, as the New Revised Standard Version reads, "There appeared a woman." Just then. Can you see this happening? There was Jesus, waxing eloquently, teaching a lesson to those gathered for worship in the synagogue that Sabbath. Like other crowds whom Jesus taught, they must have been captivated by both the content of his lesson and the way in which Jesus conveyed his message. I can see them just hanging on every word. I can see the rapport that Jesus had with his listeners as he, the living Word, broke open the Word of God for the people of God. Just then, there appeared a woman. In the midst of this intense moment stepped this woman, a woman who had been crippled for 18 years, bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. Think for a moment about this faithful daughter of Abraham, whose name is never recorded. For 18 years, this had been her life, her existence, bent over, quite unable to stand up straight. Yet, like so many faithful through the years, there she was at worship. After 18 years, she had probably come to accept that this was her plight. If she was going to live life, it was going to undoubtedly be in this bent-over state. If she was going to see more of the world than the small circle of dirt surrounding her feet, she would have to keep moving her feet to different dirt. If she were going to go to worship God, it would be with her face bent toward the floor of the synagogue. But there she was in her place of worship. The text seems to imply that she might have snuck in somewhere after the service began, perhaps arriving after the able-bodied had already gathered, perhaps hoping to go unnoticed by others. I wonder if in 18 years she had any hope of relief, much less hope of healing. I wonder if she had ever grown discouraged over the course of those 18 years with just how long it took her to get ready for synagogue every Sabbath. I wonder if by now she was accustomed to arriving after the first hymn had been sung. I wonder if she ever asked herself, "What's the use? Nothing ever happens at synagogue anyway. I leave the same way I go in, afflicted, bent over, staring at the dirt." But I digress. There she was, slipping into the service at the synagogue to hear Jesus teach. Just then, something happened. Something she hadn't expected. Something she could never have expected. Something she hadn't asked for. After 18 long years, maybe going to synagogue every Sabbath, something happened. Just then, she appeared. She appeared to Jesus. And just then, Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately, just then, she stood up straight. Just then, her outlook changed. Just then, she had a whole different perspective on the world and living. Caroline Lewis imagines it like this. Once only able to stare at the ground, only able to get an alternate view by straining her neck for some sideline sight, only able to look at the feet of others and never into their eyes, now she can see faces. Now she can see where she is going. Now she can see that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Not that she hadn't seen that before, but it's different when we see the love of God and it is incarnated in our very selves. Now she is able to see what and who Jesus sees. She can see who needs to be cured, who is in bondage, those who are bent over with the weight of a world that continues not to care. When Jesus laid his hands on this woman, immediately, just then, she stood up straight and began praising God. The verb in that phrase, "she began praising God," is an imperfect tense in Greek, which indicates an ongoing linear type of action. The action went beyond the obligatory thank you to an enduring transformation and perspective. A new way of existence, a new way of being in the world, and a new way of seeing the world forever thereafter. The message of the gospel today for us is that is what true worship can be. That is what true worship can do. Worship is at its best when it transforms us, when it lifts our eyes to see God, others, and the world from a new perspective. Whatever the burden, weight, or discouragement that has us bowed low, bent as beneath a burden, however long it has been since last we stood up straight, we are never beyond the renewing, transforming touch of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that the transforming touch of God can happen at any place and at any moment in time. It can happen when we are not expecting it. It can happen when we're not even asking for it. It can happen no matter how long we have been waiting. It can happen even when others say it shouldn't. It can happen anytime the Spirit moves within our lives. A true encounter with the divine, a touch of grace, the transforming movement of the Holy Spirit that changes our whole outlook and perspective, something that lets us begin to see the presence of Christ with us, something that lets us see the world as Christ sees it. It can be something that happens just then. You're sitting in the sanctuary or the fellowship hall waiting for service to begin, or you're logging on to the live stream, and Margie and Matthew begin to play a beautiful piece of gathering music. And just then, for no explainable reason, your spirit is lifted. What had been downcast before has faded in the distance. Just then, the music rings not only in your ears, but in your heart. The kids are coloring at the kids' table, and I'm beginning the pastoral prayer. Just then, the crayon is laid down, and the artist bows her head and folds her hands and lifts the prayer of her own heart. You're listening to the sermon, and just then, it is no longer only my voice you're hearing. Just then, the Spirit is also speaking a message to you that you need to hear in that moment. Your eyes and your heart are raised to new perspectives. Nothing looks as it had looked before. The announcement is made about establishing a fund for replacing the HVAC system. Just then, checks began coming in. In fact, money had already started arriving before the fund had even been established or announced. Once the fund had been announced, just then, one of the first checks to arrive was from someone who worships virtually and who would not have been impacted whether the sanctuary was comfortable or not. There's an announcement that we need food for guests who visit during the week. And just then, food begins to stream in boxes brought in by members, friends, and neighbors. Just the mere mention of the palm burning and fishing derby, and just then people began to volunteer to help. People who hadn't volunteered before. People who haven't even attended before. Just then, you realize the healing power of community that is yours, both to offer and to receive at Christ's church. This is worship at its best. The Spirit moves, and just then you are touched. Just then you're transformed. Just then your whole perspective is changed. Just then you begin to see the world as Jesus sees it. Just then you stand up straighter than you have stood before, and you go forth rejoicing now and always for what God has done, is doing among us. The good news of the gospel is that that can happen anytime, any place, even now, even here. Thanks be to God.